Beloved congregation, please remain standing and turning your copy of Scripture to our sermon passage for this evening, which is taken from the book of Psalms, Psalm 116, verses 12 to 14, which is found on page 511 in the Pew Bible. Psalm 16, verses 12 to 14. And the title of our sermon this evening is, I Propose a Toast. And for those of you who may not know, my name is Rudy Manrique. I'm a pastor at Grace Presbyterian Church in Yorba Linda and serve as a church planting pastor at the Shepherd's Church in Riverside, which is a PCA congregation. So we do send greetings, bring greetings to you from there. Please keep us in prayer as we continue establishing that congregation in Riverside. As you know, there's no Reformed, confessional Reformed churches in the city of Riverside, so we do covet your prayers very much. But Psalm 116, reading verses 12 to 14, hear now the very words of the living God. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Amen. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Please be seated. Here's to all the roads that brought us here, the shadows we're afraid of, the stories that we're made of. Here's to all the storms along the way, the bridges I'm still burning, the lessons I'm still learning. The moment slows, but I can't hold it while it goes. So I propose a toast. Here's to every failure tried. Here's to friends that cash can't buy and bonds that won't be severed. Here's to love and here's to life. Here's to fighting side by side. Here's to us together, you and I. Now, I don't mean to get sentimental on you this evening or to share my personal issues with you. That's not the pastor's job. But what I just read are the lyrics to a song that were a balm to my soul in 2025. Like you, I endured many lows that past year. And if I'm being honest, 2025 was the most challenging year of my life. And perhaps you share the same sentiment. And it's these lyrics that have helped me to focus on what truly matters in life. Friendship, love, family. And despite the struggles of the past year, God's faithfulness, mercy, and grace have been constant. And as you reflect on the past year, you feel the same gratitude for God's goodness. And that's what makes our sermon passage unique. Psalm 116 is a toast of sorts. In it, the psalmist proposes a toast to all that the Lord has done for him. He lifts his glass, as it were, and says, "Here's to God's love, mercy, faithfulness, and grace." And likewise, through this psalm, you and I do the same. And as we enter this new year, as we already have 2 months in, we raise our glass, as it were, and toast to all that God has done. But not just that. We also propose a toast to all that the Lord will do this year. And in response to God's grace, this psalm instructs us on how we should live. Even though we're already 2 months in, I'm sure you've made New Year's resolutions. How are those going? Psalm 116, verses 12 to 14 helps us in that endeavor. First, it teaches us to live a life thankful for God's grace. Second, it leads us to live solely by God's grace. And third, we vow to live life serving others because of God's grace. Those are the three things we'll be learning this evening. Live a life thankful for God's grace, live solely by God's grace, and serve others because of God's grace. Let's see how that's the case, starting with our first point. Live a life thankful for God's grace. Our passage begins with the psalmist asking a question that invites us to meditate on God's grace. Notice what he asks in verse 12. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? As we'll see, that's an appropriate question given everything the Lord has done for you and me. And that's especially true when we consider all that God has done for us this past year, 2025. As you know, throughout 2025, you and I have experienced God's grace in incredible ways, haven't we? He's been good to us. And the same is true of the psalmist. He too has experienced God's grace. And that's why the psalmist asks this particular question. He's thankful for God's goodness to him. And that's why the psalmist's question drips with joy at all that the Lord has done for him. And given everything we've experienced this past year, that's the same question you and I ask as we are entering this new year. Lord, how can I truly thank you for all your goodness to me? That's how we should respond to the Lord's benefits, with heartfelt thankfulness and joy. And yet, how often do we respond to God's infinite mercy, constant grace, and continuous faithfulness? We often meet the Lord with silence, cold indifference, and apathy. Rather than thanking the Lord, we wake up each day as if it were something owed to us or something we deserved. Everything I have and am is because of me, is what we tell ourselves. How often was that our attitude in 2025? As you know, we often take advantage of God's benefits by spending them on ourselves. And beloved, that's how the world thinks. It never considers God's immeasurable kindness. It just unthankfully takes. And if we're honest, that's how you and I often live our lives. 2026 is just another year. All the while forgetting God's grace. We forget to thank our Creator. But you see, that's not how the psalmist responds to God's benefits. Instead, he thanks the Lord. That's the response God's blessings pour out from his people. With the psalmist, you and I lift our voices in grateful praise to the Lord. Beloved, that's how we answer the psalmist's question in verse 12. We live a life thankful for God's grace. And we do so by thanking the Lord as we look back and look forward. What do I mean? First, you and I thank the Lord for his past mercy. The reason is that as you and I look back on 2025, that's what sustained us through it all. And so you and I lift our voices because God has preserved us. And that's what we see the psalmist doing. Now, we don't know precisely what prompted the writing of this psalm, but based on the psalmist's words, he likely experienced what you and I would call a near-death experience. Notice what he says in verse 3 of Psalm 116. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol lay hold on me. Again, in verse 8, for you have delivered my soul from death. The psalmist is thanking God for his past mercy in delivering him from sorrow and even death itself. Beloved, my question for you this evening is, does that resonate with you? I'm sure for many of you, 2025 was a challenging year. Perhaps you were diagnosed with an illness. Maybe you endured financial struggles, marital problems, familial strife, betrayal from close friends, and battles with sin. Possibly 2025 was spent in a deep depression, feeling isolated and hopeless. Maybe 2025 brought with it nothing but grief, sorrow, and sadness. And perhaps, as you've already entered 2026, the shadows and struggles of 2025 seem to linger. But even through all your struggles, pain, and sorrow, one thing I know for sure, God has preserved you. His grace over your life this past year, in fact, your whole life, has been constant and enduring. The Lord has held on to you despite your struggles, despite your difficulties. And that is why you and I, along with the psalmist, thank the Lord for his past mercy. As he says in verses 5 through 6, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Beloved, that's why as you're walking into 2026, you can be confident in God's mercy. We know this because Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 23 says that the steadfast love of the Lord never, never ceases. His mercies never, never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And so how do you and I answer the question raised in verse 12? Thank the Lord for his past mercy. As you look back on the past year, you see God's mercy has carried you through it all. And so this year, live a life thankful for God's mercy. The reason is that this benefit never expires. David says in Psalm 23, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that's why we thank the Lord also for his future grace. Not just his past mercy, but we also thank the Lord for his future grace. Because of his past mercy, we're assured of God's future grace. And that's one reason why you and I propose a toast. In the coming year and for the rest of your life, God's grace is with you. Psalm 165, verse 11 says, you crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. As you know, New Year's Day is often marked as a time of celebration. It's a time to hit the reset button, start fresh, and begin anew, as it were. It's a time to look forward to the future and celebrate what the coming new year has in store. But for some, the new year brings fear of the unknown. And perhaps that describes you this evening. Maybe you feel that way because the previous year was filled with sorrow and grief. Perhaps a family member or friend unexpectedly died. Maybe you were diagnosed with an illness that's quite literally left you wondering, is this my last year? Is this it? Maybe you believe God hates you because of how badly you've sinned. It's challenging to have hope when you're petrified with fear, regret, and shame. Beloved, it's during those times of great fear, shame, and sorrow that we must remember the gospel, God's grace upon our lives. That's why throughout this year, whatever comes your way, you can be thankful for God's grace. The reason is that God is always, mark that down, is always gracious toward his people, no matter what. Beloved, your actions don't prompt God's grace. It's what Christ did. Because of him, you can be assured of God's future grace. I'm not sure what 2026 holds for you and me. And perhaps you are already walking in a nightmare. But this I do know. God's future grace will be there. No matter what. You can be assured that God's grace will provide for all your needs. The words of Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 assure us of that reality. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. You can be assured of God's grace in your fight against sin, as Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Come what may, God's grace will be there, even if death comes. Because as Psalm 116, verse 15 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is his death of his saints. Beloved, you and I can be thankful for God's future grace because that's who God is towards you. And that will never change. God is and will always be gracious to you. And we know this because God himself says that. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed." Likewise, we can be assured of God's constant future grace because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Beloved, these are just some of the reasons you and I answer the psalmist's question that he raises in verse 12. "What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me?" Answer, we live a life thankful for God's grace. However, the psalmist does answer that particular question. And he does so by stating what he'll do in light of God's benefits. And this leads us to our second point. Live a life relying solely on God's grace. As you know, New Year's, as we mentioned earlier, is a time when people make resolutions. Many resolve to exercise more, perhaps complete a Bible reading plan, or pray more often. For instance, one of my New Year's resolutions is to read one of my former professors, all of his books, which amounts to about 5,000 pages. Wish me luck in the good Calvinistic sense. Now, there's nothing wrong with making New Year's resolutions. In fact, they can help build character and discipline in achieving these goals. And that's what we see the psalmist doing in light of God's benefits to him. He makes resolutions, as it were. Since God delivered him from his near-death afflictions, the psalmist resolves to perform two actions, and both revolve around worship. Notice the psalmist's first resolution in verse 13, in answer to his question, "What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord." Simply put, in response to God's benefits, the psalmist resolves to live his life solely relying on God's grace. And given God's grace in our lives, that should also be our resolution. The reason is that God's grace causes you and I to live and respond to him in a certain way. And from the psalmist's words, we also learn two lessons about what God's grace does in our lives. Notice with me. First, we learn that God's grace causes us to celebrate his salvation. And we know this because that's what the phrase, "I will lift up the cup of salvation," means. Perhaps as you gathered with your family 2 months ago to celebrate New Year's, I'm sure as you gathered, you proposed a toast. Proposing a toast, as you know, is an idiom for wishing someone future health, happiness, and success, and asking others to raise their glass and join in that celebration. Something similar happened under the Old Covenant. Under the Old Covenant, God prescribed various sacrifices to accompany certain sacrifices. And these sacrifices would include what's called a drink offering, which were a specific type of sacrificial offering, usually involving wine, with precise measurements prescribed for different animals. This much wine for a goat, this much wine for a sheep, so on and so forth. It was also known as the peace offering because it involved eating sacrifices meat. And as the animal was sacrificed, the priest would pour out the corresponding drink offering. And this act taught the Israelites about the nature of their response to God's grace. And by this act, the Israelites were essentially saying, "God forgives me. God accepts me. I have peace with him. And so I propose a toast. Here's to God's grace." The psalmist's words convey a moment of joyous celebration, not of sadness or remorse. By giving the drink offering, the psalmist expresses his joy in the benefit that comes from the sacrificed animal's blood. And those benefits include the forgiveness of sins, resulting in reconciliation. The drink offering communicates that acceptance of God's mercy should overflow into devoted thankfulness. The peace offering was a joyous celebration. Likewise, our response to God's grace should be the same. We celebrate the fact that God has saved us. Like the psalmist, you too lift up the cup of salvation in thanks to God. The reason is that the psalmist's actions point to what Christ would eventually do for you and me. He would come to accomplish our redemption. He would earn the forgiveness of our sins. And that's what God's grace causes us to do, to celebrate his salvation. But as you know, there are times when it's hard to celebrate that reality. It's hard to lift the cup of salvation when your sins weigh so heavily on you. And maybe that's how you walked in this morning, or excuse me, this evening. Perhaps you came here carrying a load of shame, guilt, and regret because of your sins. Maybe your conscience, even now as you're sitting here in this worship service, keeps reminding you of your sins, including the ones of the previous year. And instead of celebrating God's salvation that's already yours in Christ, you look down with remorse. I can't believe the things I've thought, said, and committed. God can't possibly forgive me. Of course, beloved, there are times to grieve over our sins because, they are deeply offensive to God. But because of Christ, because of our precious Savior, you and I don't stay there. Instead, we lift up our heads to look upon our Savior, who is continually interceding for us, and we celebrate, not because we get to live in sin, but because we are forgiven. The reason is that you and I have a mighty Savior in Jesus Christ. Beloved, your past sins are gone, not because the ball dropped at 12 a.m. in New York on New Year's Day, but because Christ died on the cross. In fact, all your sins have gone. And the reason is that in Christ, God forgives all your sins. Beloved, that's what the gospel is all about, what Christ accomplished on your behalf. And because of that reality, you and I celebrate God's salvation by lifting up the cup of salvation. And that is exactly what you and I do in the Lord's Supper. It's because that's what it is. The Lord's Supper is a celebration. That's through this sacrament, you and I, as it were, propose a toast to what Christ did for us. Here's to all my sins being forgiven. Here's to being a new creation. Here's to everlasting life and eternal love. Here's to God for considering me righteous based on the righteousness of my precious Savior, Jesus Christ. We celebrate God's salvation by lifting up the cup of salvation. But there's a second lesson we learn from the psalmist's resolution. God's grace also keeps you from relying on yourself. And we know this by what the psalmist goes on to say in verse 13. Notice with me, I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. These words indicate to us that the psalmist resolves to rely on God's help when trouble arises. And as you know, when you and I encounter a problem or difficulty, what is our gut instinct? We want to fix the problem ourselves. We look to our ability, strength, and intellect to bail us out of these sticky situations. And that's no less true when it comes to our trials and struggles. Instead of calling upon the Lord in prayer and relying upon his strength, what do? We begin to rely on ourselves. But you see, that's not what the psalmist does. Instead, he resolves to rely not on himself, but on God's grace. And this takes the form on calling on the name of the Lord. As is often the case today, names in the ancient world describe someone's character. They communicated something about someone, and that's just as true for God's name. You see, the underlying Hebrew word for God's name here in our text is Yahweh, which describes how he's always faithful to his people no matter what. He's the great I am who knows the end from the beginning. He's the Alpha and Omega who knows all things, including you. And that's the same God on whom you and I rely on for everything. And so when the psalmist says that he's going to call on the Lord's name, he's saying he's not going to depend on himself. God is my refuge and strength. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. And beloved, you and I need the same reminder. The reason is that there's no telling what this year will bring. But one thing I know for sure is that it will have its share of sorrow, struggles, and difficulties. And when those struggles come our way, what are we going to be tempted to do? Instead of calling on the Lord's name, you and I will be tempted to rely on ourselves. We're going to believe that our sins are too grievous for God to forgive. And so, how am I going to atone for my sins? We're going to think that God has forsaken us when the doctor's report doesn't come back in the way that we want to. And so we're going to think, is God paying me back for my past? We're going to believe our trials are too big for God to handle. And so how can I get myself out of this mess? Because after all, it's all up to me. We're alone in this dark, cold, indifferent universe. Beloved, the answer is to call on the name of the Lord. Like every difficulty you've endured this past year, God's power will carry you through this year. And we know this because that's what the psalmist says in verses 1 to 2, right at the very beginning. Notice, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. Beloved, God always hears the prayers of his people. Come what may this year, God is always faithful to us. Beloved, these are just two ways that you and I live a life relying solely on God's grace. We celebrate his salvation and rely on him alone. That's how God's grace changes us. But that's not all it does in our lives. God's grace also causes us to look outward in service to others. And that's what the psalmist also resolves to do, which leads us to our third point. Live a life serving others because of God's grace. And that's how the psalmist ends this passage. He declares that he vows to live a life of service to others. Notice what the psalmist says in verse 14. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. In fact, he says the same thing in verse 18. From these words, we also learn a valuable lesson about living a life serving others because of God's grace. We learn that God's grace causes us to obey his word and love his people. Let's briefly explain each of these respectively. First, God's grace causes you to obey his word. That's what the psalmist means by the phrase, I will pay my vows to the Lord. As I mentioned earlier, New Year's is often the time to make resolutions, which in a way is like making a vow. I will do this, I vow to do this, I'm going to do this, and hopefully I will achieve those goals. And in a way, that's what the psalmist is doing. In the Old Testament, when someone faced difficulty, and much like today, they prayed to the Lord for deliverance. And if God delivered them, that person would vow to thank the Lord publicly publicly and to perform some duty. It was a way of saying, Lord, this is what I'll say and do if you deliver me. And that's what the psalmist says because of God's grace in delivering him. Now, we're not sure exactly what vow the psalmist made, but I am sure it involved some sort of greater obedience. And the same is true of you and me. How often have you and I cried out to the Lord for deliverance? And how frequently he has answered us? And during those times of great difficulty, what do we usually say when we're in the midst of the fire, as it were? We say, Lord, if you deliver me, I will do such and such. But as is often the case, we often don't follow through on our vows. Instead, we live our lives as if nothing happened. Beloved, that's not the response God's grace should have on our lives. God's grace always leads to gratitude. And one way we do show that is by obeying his word. Beloved, that's what God's grace does in our lives. And we do so because that's precisely what Jesus did. We know this because the psalmist's words are in fact the Lord Jesus' words. You and I are the recipients of all the benefits the question in verse 12 raises. Christ earned them for us and in turn shares them with his people. And this brings us back to the drink or peace offering that I mentioned earlier. And we'll conclude with this. Every sacrifice the Israelites brought before the Lord were meant to be either burned or to be eaten by the priest. The ordinary Israelite was prohibited from eating the meat of the sacrifice except for one, the peace offering. In the peace offering, most of the flesh was shared by the worshiper and in turn would share it with his family members and friends. And simply put, this meal was like a barbecue. It was a massive celebration. Beloved, that's what Jesus' life, death, and resurrection earned for us. Because Christ obeyed God's word, you and I are clothed with the benefits of his righteousness. He shares those things with all of his people. Because Christ died on the cross, all our sins have been wiped away. Because God raised Jesus from the dead, you and I will also share in his resurrection. Beloved, that is why you and I lift up the cup of salvation. He has been good to us now and forever. That is why we propose a toast. And so here's to the gospel of Jesus Christ. All glory, honor, and praise to him alone. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are amazed that your mercy toward us is new every morning and that for the assurance that nothing can separate us from your love. We thank you for the infinite mercy and grace that comes to us through your Son. And so in light of these wonderful blessings, help us to live obediently in service to you and our neighbors. May we be a people who are always thankful for who and what you have done through your Son, in whose mighty name we pray. Amen. Well, beloved, let us stand as we respond to the